say to you all today, and I have things that I'm going to say tomorrow. But today I felt that to give you a word of strength for your faith at this time. And so we're going to talk a little bit about stormy weather briefly. So let's go to Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, when you find it, say amen. It's Jesus speaking, and he said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Jesus here speaking shows us that you have two houses here, and the fact that he didn't distinguish a difference between the two houses, with the exception of the foundations, I think that we can deduce from that these houses are similar. Similar in expense, similar in appearance, two houses. And the storm beat against both of those houses. Amen. And the only difference in the houses is the foundation. The foundation cannot be seen. When you look at a house and you ooh and ah over the bay windows and all of the fancy door and all of the things, the landscaping and all the rest of it, those are the things we see. But the most important thing for the house is the thing we don't see, the thing that is beneath it all, the thing that is sustaining it all, which is its foundation. So you had these two houses, and Jesus said the only distinction between the two is they got two different foundations. Now, the only way we were able to recognize what kind of foundations they had was in the aftermath of the storm. Lately, unfortunately, in our nation, we've had a few tragedies with tornadoes just recently in Joplin, and had tornadoes and the devastation that takes place. And a lot of time where that's happening, you can't see exactly what's going on until the aftermath of the storm, and then they begin to survey the damage, and you will find that some structures are destroyed, and you'll find a few that are still standing. Now, when Jesus is talking about these houses, he's given us two different kinds of people. He said, you got people who hear his word and live by it. And then you have people who hear his word and dismiss it. He said, them the only two kind of people that you have. And so, just like those two houses, when we, in an assembly such as this, when we all decided to bring our Bibles on Sunday morning and sit in a nice church with the stained glass windows and the pew and put on our nice clothes and perfume and cologne, we could look at one another and not know what our life is really being built upon. The only way to know the difference is the storm. That when the storm comes and beat against your life, then we'll recognize in the aftermath of that storm whether you were building on the foundation of God's word or whether you were not. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in times of challenge and controversy." You want to know what a person is really all about, you just watch them in the middle of a tragedy. You watch them in the middle of a crisis. You watch them in the middle of a storm. When we see these two houses, what we have to understand as Christians is something that is been falsified in the earth, and that is somehow because we saved and we love Jesus and we believe in God and we in the Word of God and we're in the house of God, that we don't have to deal with nothing or go through nothing. And it's because of that lie, so many of us get saved, and in the first sign of adversity, we ain't in church no more. We ain't in the Word of God no more. We're not in prayer no more. We're not talking about Jesus no more. We're not praising God no more. We're not worshiping God no more. Because somebody told you that everything was going to be rainbows and lollipops, and when first time you had to deal with some destruction, some adversity, some frustration, then some aggravation, that you didn't know how to handle it because you thought God wasn't real and he let you down. But you notice in this parable that Jesus tells, is he said that they both houses, one of them represented a person who heard the word and did it. So this is somebody who's living for Jesus Christ. Then somebody else who heard the word and dismissed it, so they weren't living for Jesus Christ. But the storm beat against both those houses. The storm didn't skip the house that was built upon the rock, but it hit that house just as hard as it hit the house that was built on the sand. And what you got to understand is that faith in Jesus Christ does not mean that you bypass all of the issues of the world, and that you bypass all of the struggles of the world. But when you go through your struggle, you're different from the people that go through the struggle that don't know Jesus. And one thing that I learned in the loss of my son was, once and for all, am I going to build my life on Christ or not? And if you make a decision to build on Jesus Christ, then come hell or high water, you trust Jesus, you stay grounded in Jesus, you stay focused in Jesus. I would love to come up here and tell this precious family, if you say these three verses tomorrow, everything will be all right. But the truth is, you're going to go through the pain of it and the loss of it and the difficulty of it and the stress of it. But the thing that you got to understand is that God is with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. And he is your refuge. He is your rock. And if you hold on to him, he will get you through this time of stormy weather. Too many times that believers are just one to two incidents away from being done with Jesus. I've walked with God for 13, 14 years, and during that time I always see it. People who are in the house of God and they loving Jesus, and they lifting their hands when they got a job and they got a house and they got a nice car, but the first time someone hurts and offends them, they done with church. The first time someone has to deal with sickness and disease, the miracle doesn't come, they're done with God. The first time their precious marriage that they thought was just going to be wonderful and blissful, and somehow it gets to the place where it ends in divorce, they're done with Jesus. So the proof is that you were building on sand. You were never building on your relationship with him. So soon as the storm beat against your life, you collapse. And somebody's got to stand up and tell you that being a disciple of Jesus Christ does not mean that you're not going to go through something. It just means that when you go through it, he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you, and you're going to get through it. And when you come out of it, you come out of it stronger than you were than when you went into it. See, something about me is that when I get the news of stuff like this, yeah, it hurts. When I get the news of stuff like that, it's discouraging. When you get the news of something, losing two people that you love in your congregation, that you hurt and you despair, and there's grief that hits. But something always kicks in that makes me roll up my sleeves and say, now you hit us. And you took my wind out of me, and I might even hit the canvas. But guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the corner. I'm going to let the Spirit of God minister to me, heal my wounds,
deal with my, and then I'm gonna come back in the ring swinging harder than when I went in the ring before, because the one who is in us is greater than he who is in this world. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, I don't know what the hindrance is, I don't know what the holdup is. There have been people who have been healed in this church, but I'm telling you, miracles and healing and prosperity and blessing and all of those things are going to flow in this house. But I tell you what, when the miracle doesn't happen, we still going to be strong. When the tragedy comes, we still going to be strong. When the difficulty comes, we still going to be strong, because we are a house of warriors.
I didn't know Debbie that long, but I knew her well enough to know that she was a fighter. I know that. I knew her well enough to know that I would stand up here preaching, looking at her back there, knowing all that she was going through and all the agony and the pain that she was dealing with, and see her still waving her hand at me going, "That's right, Pastor, preach it." And I know her well enough to know that the last thing that she would want to ever happen is to have her family, her friends, and her church fall up and quit on Jesus Christ because of what has happened in her life. I talked with Scott's family and friends, and he had a friend of his that was a friend since childhood. And he came and he talked with me, and this man, in the few minutes that we talked, he had to say at least three different times, "Man, Scott loved his church. Scott loved his church. Scott loved his church." And the last thing he would want is for this church to fall apart, because he was with Jesus. And I've told you, if I hadn't learned nothing else, that like I said, what happened to my son, Barry, my 23-year-old son, said to me, "But you know what? God gonna use this thing and to wreak havoc on the kingdom of darkness." And so now when somebody's going through something, I'm not gonna be the one sitting there going, "I just don't know what to say. Okay, I have no idea what you feel." I'm gonna say, "I know what you're feeling like. And I know that you're falling apart right now. And I know that you're depressed right now. And I know that you feel you can't make it right now. But I'm a living testimony that the God of all comfort will comfort you and strengthen you one day at a time, one moment at a time, till you're walking again, preaching again, teaching again, shouting again, loving again, praising again, worshiping again, and you're going to be twice as strong as you were before he hit you." That's what the enemy doesn't understand about us, is that all he's got is lies, and all he's got is death, and all he's got is sickness, and all he's got is disease. And after he hits us with all that he's got, and we still standing giving God glory, it vexes him. And I'm committed to spend the rest of my life praising and worshiping God and vexing the enemy, because we already have victory in Jesus Christ. You find out what people are all about in the storm. I talked with Bishop Jamie, and he said it used to be a time that he thought what made a person a great person of faith is that they never go through nothing. That sickness came and they were healed. That when financial trouble came, they were blessed. That when adversity came, they just pushed through it, didn't have any issues. He said, but he's coming to understand that real faith is when you've been hit with something that you don't have no answer for. When things didn't work out like you anticipated. And then when you see that person after it's all said and done, they still praising Jesus, that's a testimony of faith. You may think you weak because you cry. I cry. You may think you weak because you doubt. I doubt. You may think you weak because you have a day or two where you said, "Forget it, I quit, I give up." I have a day or two from time to time when I say, "That's it, I quit, I give up." But the testimony is this: when it's all said and done,
You still standing on the firm foundation of the rock of relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah, you might have cried. Yeah, you might have been depressed. But when it was all over, you wiped your eyes, you washed your face, and you went back to serving Jesus. That's the testimony of faith. Testimony isn't always about convenience. It's about what you do in the difficult day. And that means when the great days are flowing in this church on a regular basis, when somebody walks in this door with a sickness and it lifts off of them, when you see somebody who's lost a loved one, you won't look down your religious nose at them and go, I guess you didn't have enough faith. You'll remember what it's like to have faith and still not get the miracle. And you'll know not just how to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, but when they don't recover, you'll know how to minister strength to them that they can and keep walking. This is not going to be the kind of prideful church that walks around acting like you better than somebody and judging somebody and what was wrong with Debbie or what was wrong with her family, what was wrong with our pastor. Didn't they bind the spirit of death? If you know how to bind the spirit of death, then bind it. Otherwise, shut up. See what I'm saying? Because too many times in the body of Christ, we sitting around like we got all the answers, and the truth is we look to through a glass darkly. All of us have some questions. All of us are going to deal with some perplexities. All of us are going to have things you can't answer. And the question is, are you going to keep loving God when God doesn't look like He's being good to you because you just know He's good anyhow? In the 21st century, that's what we're going to have to be about. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, I always found it interesting that He's got a new spiritual glorified body. And the body, it never says He has a body of flesh and blood. It just says flesh and bone, because I believe what's going to course through our veins is the glory of God. And so Jesus is flesh and bone. He's got a brand new body. This body don't get tired. This body doesn't age. This body will never get sick. This is a brand new glorified kingdom body. But He kept the scars that He had from the last body. Now why He has to keep them scars? Because He's already glorified. Why would you keep the wounds that you have from the old decaying body? Well, then Thomas comes in, who we give a bad rap and call him Doubting Thomas just because of one moment of doubt. All of the disciples were doubting. So I don't know how he got stuck with the name. Peter was doubting when he sunk in that water. He got a lot of nerve talking about Thomas. The exception of John, the rest of them scared little girls was hiding in a corner somewhere, scared they was going to get crucified. And they got the nerve to call him Doubting Thomas. You doubting Betty, doubting Joel, doubting somebody. I'm doubting John. We all doubt sometimes. And so he comes in, and then Jesus said, listen. He said, come over here and look at the scars in my hand. And now put your hand in the wound in my side. And then Thomas said, my Lord and my God, once he touched you. Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and believe. Can I tell you, we got an unbelieving generation, a generation of people who've been molested, a generation of people who've been raped, a generation of people who've been abandoned by their parents, by school teachers, by people who should have took care of them and loved them. And you got a cynical generation of people with their guard up and us walking around like little plastic Christians with our hymnals talking about how great Jesus is and ain't never been through nothing, ain't gonna cut it in this down and dirty generation. But when you show them, hey, I've been divorced like you've been, but here's the scar. I've been through what you've been through. Here's the wound. I've been through what you went through. Here's the scar. But guess what? A scar is just evidence of a previous wound that's now healed. Our testimony ain't that we ain't never been through nothing. Our testimony is we have been through something, but we come out of it and we better than we were when we went into it. Our testimony is, even though I got knocked down just like you got knocked down, you still down, I got back up. Why? Because Jesus is with me. My testimony is, he forgives me. Not just one time on Calvary, but it lasts for eternity, the forgiveness that he's given to me. He's merciful to me. And you don't know, you think you don't need mercy, because you say you walk with God long enough, you're going to find, as saved as you are, as filled as you are with the Spirit, as filled as you are with his scriptures, you're going to do some stupid, mess up sin, and you're going to need God to forgive you, be merciful, and you're going to need other people to be merciful. So all this religious, judgmental nonsense needs to be cleaned up out of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because when Jesus had somebody come to him who was caught in the act of adultery, and they wanted to stone him, the law says we should stone her. Well, where the dude that she was sleeping with at? You didn't even bring him. You ain't worried about the law then. It's probably one of the Pharisees that was with her. And so they come, they ready to stone this woman. And then Jesus said, let him without sin cast the first stone. He didn't say the law was wrong. He just said, go, the first one of you who don't need no mercy, first one of you ain't need no forgiveness, you cast the stone. They all dropped the stone. He said, woman, where are your accusers? She said, I don't see none. He said, neither do I accuse you. Now, he didn't tell her, go and go back and do what you was doing. He said, go and sin no more. That's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bearing one another's burden. That's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loving people when they're unlovable. That's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being patient. That's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The miracles, the healing, and all of that's going to come, but that's not all that we are. That's not all that we are. And great, you can cast out a demon, but can you impart the love of Christ in the place of the demon you cast out? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And so when the storms come, as in these two houses, the person that built on the sand fell apart. That's the only difference. That we all look like we strong. I've seen people that, boy, they look like they were strong. When you seen them, how they carried themselves, how they walked around, you just thought they were strong. And then it's just a little bit of something happened. They fall apart. Then you see that little docile, quiet person that you think, as soon as something happened, they just gonna fall apart. You see them every time you see them, they shedding a tear or crying, and you just think, oh my goodness, the first little something happened to them. And then you find out, yeah, when it happened, they was crying and it looked like they was falling apart, but guess what they did the next Sunday? Came in with their Bible, sat down, and kept praising and worshiping God. Then you found out, wait, in the aftermath of the storm, I guess we found out. And can I say this to you all? You work on your foundation before the storm. You can't have no tornado show up and then you go, oh, boy, we better strengthen the foundation of the house, Molly. It's too late now. You should have thought about that all them years that it was sunny weather and it wasn't no tornado, wasn't no wind, wasn't no flood. That's the time that you should have been making sure your foundation was strong then. Well, our relationship with God is a daily thing. It's not a when things go bad, now I'm at church. Because things will go good again and you'll be gone. And besides, coming up in here ain't got nothing to do with nothing if you ain't in here for the right reason. God don't check off good boy, good girl because you came to church on Sunday. That's nonsense. Back in the day, people would puff their chest out and go, I attend church weekly. Sold the devil. It's about a real deal God that's alive and having a daily connection with him and depending on him more than you depend on your children, more than you depend on your job, more than you depend on your spouse, more than you depend on anything, God is first and foremost the priority in your life. So if you lose a loved one, you're still standing. If you lose a job, you're still standing. Why? Because as much of a blessing as all of these things are in our lives, they are not what's holding me together. It's Christ that's holding me together, and He'll never leave me or forsake me. And as long as I got Him, I can stand.
I'm going to make this quick, so I'm not going to go to a lot of scripture. It's a story in the Gospel of Mark. When, you know the story in the Gospels when Jesus walked on the water, right? And we've all heard the story, and the storm's raging, and Jesus is walking on the water. And the one thing we have to understand about that is this. They were in the will of God, going right in the direction He told them to go. It wasn't a Jonah storm where Jonah was running away from God and then God sent a great storm and then Jonah's boy on the boat, they found out it was him, threw him off of the boat. Then a great fish swallowed him up and spit him up right at Nineveh where he's supposed to be in the first place. Not that kind of storm. We need those kind of storms sometimes. But this is a storm. I heard what you said. Go to the other side, doing what you told us to do. And on the way, a great storm hit. And you don't hear about it with the multitudes. You hear about it with the disciples. The true disciples of Jesus Christ going to follow Him, even if you got to follow Him through a storm. And so when you see this, when Jesus is walking on the water, and like I said, Jesus couldn't have been, what, maybe 130, 45, I don't know. But eating that Mediterranean diet, I'm sure He wasn't obese or nothing. And so He come walking on the water. Now this storm's so strong, He should be blown away. But what it shows you is that Jesus, even though He's sympathetic and empathetic to what you're going through, He's not getting blown around by what you're going through. He's not getting pushed around by what you're going through. He's not doubting the Father because of what you're going through. He's still walking in the midst of the storm. And Peter walks out there, and as long as he focused on Jesus, he was able to walk in the midst of a storm. But when he took his eyes off of Him and looked at the wind and the waves, he sunk. That represents the external things that come against us, okay? Then there is the story of the storm when the storm comes and Jesus is in the boat. And the boat's filling up with water. And Jesus is on the bottom of the boat with a pillow sleeping. You ever feel like Jesus was sleeping in the middle of your storm? Is it just me? But have you ever, you're down to your last couple of bucks and you was believing God for this new job, a new whatever, and the extra hours and the overtime, and then here you are to the last couple of bucks and they still calling you about the mortgage and you like on the bottom of your boat, Jesus, don't you care that we're about to perish? You feel like that? Some of you try to act like you have it, but of course you have. You feel like that right now. You have sickness, you have disease, you have struggles, you have different things, and then you quoted the Word of God and believed God and stood on the Word, and then nothing changes in your storm. But you got to remember, Jesus is on your boat. And if someone greater than the storm is in the boat, I don't have to fear the storm, because one greater than the storm's in my boat. So they wake Jesus up, and Jesus wake up with an attitude. What? And they're like, don't you care? It's a storm. Then he was like, oh, you know how you get up in the middle of the night, you get an attitude. Jesus comes to the top of the boat. Peace! Be still. And the storm ceases. That represents the internal storm that are the result of the external storm. That sometimes you got to wake the Christ that's in you up. You got to wake Him up, and you got to say, He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world.
And you got to look at the bills and then you can say, oh, my God shall supply all of my needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That since I tithe, I know He opens the windows of heaven to pour out a blessing. I don't have room enough to say. You got to wake the Christ up on the inside of you, and you got to speak to your storm, peace be still, until your soul is at peace. Because the truth is, saints of God, it's going to be storms that you're in the middle of, that the key to walking on the water is maintaining your internal peace. All the enemy's got is the external. And if He comes at you with the external, because the Bible says He walks about at like a roaring lion, like one, imitating one. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He the one, if anybody going to fear anybody, going to fear Him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not some dweepy, defeated archangel stripped of His power. He comes and He roars like a lion. Ah, He tries to scare you with sickness. Ah, He tries to scare you with poverty. Ah, He tries like, but the truth is that He's more afraid of us. That even though Scott is gone, He still lives. What do you do with that? Then of course we want people healed. And of course we don't want to see people die in their 40s. But they saved. And even when we die, we live. Because to be absent from my body is to be present with the Lord, which is better by far. Now I told you that the old school saints, all they sang about was heaven. But nobody taught you how to live with any victory or purpose on the earth. Now the new school saints don't never sing about heaven and want everything to be heaven on earth. But this ain't heaven. And in this present age, there's going to be tears, there's going to be pain, there's going to be disappointment, but we can't never lose sight of the fact that we have eternal life, and that we have a Christ that's coming back for us. And even if I die before He comes back, I go with Him. I mean, we've got it so twisted that we've forgotten that. We've gotten to the place now that if somebody died, then we've forgotten the fact that they saved, so we can still rejoice. We've forgotten the fact, hey, what I'm trying to get you to understand is you can't forget about eternity. God gave me a revelation about my son that when I was thanking Him for Jesus, thanking the Father for Jesus, then He said, I sent my son so I could receive yours. He said, That I had nothing else I felt like I could rejoice about, so that's what I held on to in the early days of that law. I couldn't find nothing else to say thank You for. And so I just kept saying, God, just thank You that You gave Your son that my son could be with You. I just thank You, Lord, that You gave Your son that my son could be with You. We can't lose sight of the fact that I also learned that as far as your loved ones are concerned, your mama, your grandmama, your sister, your brother, your whoever, your friend, whoever it is that you know they saved and they in heaven, when we get there to them, it's going to seem like that. Because time is no longer a factor. Debbie and Scott have time has nothing to do with their existence anymore. They have no limitation, no fatigue, no body aches, no depression, no confusion. They are, can you imagine seeing the face of God? Would you see how we act just when we feel just a little bit of His presence and you get goosebumps? Can you imagine what it's like to step into eternity and see the glory of God light up eternity and see the face of God? You're not going to be asking Him a bunch of questions. You're going to be on your face in awe. And we can never lose sight of the fact that we are foreigners here, ambassadors here. We are citizens of heaven, and we are on this earth to enforce the will and the power of Christ in this fallen earth. We are in a battle, in a fight right now, and we're going to get wounded, we're going to get hurt, we're going to have some losses, but we've already got the victory, and at the end of it all, Jesus is going to come back, heaven going to merge with earth, and we're going to spend eternity in paradise. Stop spending your whole life living for this moment. Because it's just a moment. Stop letting all your hope be right here and right now. That's not our message. Part of our message is about heaven invading the earth. Part of our message is because of Jesus and faith in Him, you can leave the earth and be with Him in heaven. We cannot forget that. We spend so much time cracking on the old school saints, and I ain't about singing a bunch of hymnals, but it ain't because them hymnals wasn't the truth. Can I tell you something? There was this guy, he was preaching on TBN or one of them, Daystar, one of those stations, and he had his iPhone. And I'm thinking, how rude and unprofessional. He grew through his iPhone while he was preaching at the same time. And I'm thinking, man, that's rude. Come to find out, he wanted to read a letter that somebody had written to the church. And it was about how upset they were about this music that was getting played and why we couldn't sing the old songs. The old songs were good enough for my parents, and why aren't the old songs good enough for us today? That was a letter back in 1800-something about the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. What we would think, oh, that's just a lame song. It's like, no, that was controversial back then. Which is just evidence that we don't know how to keep progressing. You know what I'm saying? But my point is this, is that the words in a lot of those hymnals are still true. And I think that part of the problem, I got a revelation, is that we have focused so much on right here, right now, when Jesus was telling us, you ought to look for my coming. So you occupy till I come. You taking care of business now, but you looking forward to Him coming. And we fighting the church on those two extremes. But you know what? You lose somebody close enough to you and you won't think about heaven. Because that's our hope. I don't have to stand here today with these two precious people that I had to honor or pastor and sit here and have to skip over things because we don't really know about their salvation. But I get to talk about a man that I know was, I talked to him. Brother knew the Bible inside, and he was surprised because I didn't think he did. Because he didn't brag about it and boast about it. His brother knew, Scott knew the Bible. And so I know where Scott is. I felt the peace of it when I spoke over his body, and I know where Deb is, and I'm not worrying about where Deb is, and our family's not worrying about where they are in the presence of God, and it is because of one drop of the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was enough to forgive them of every sin, every penalty they ever faced, and they have eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we hold on to that. And as Debbie's family, you hold on to that. That in all you're going to deal with it. You're going to go through difficulty. You're going to go through the pain of this. I don't care what nobody got to tell you. Because when the cards stop coming and the calls stop coming and the support stops coming because everybody's moved on with their life, you're going to still carry the difficulty and the pain of missing your loved one. But on those days, I want you to remind yourself, well, at least I know that her body ain't racked with cancer no more. At least I know that that smile is on her face in the presence of Jesus. The woman that loved to sing and loved to dance and told me once that she just loves to worship. She could worship for hours. It's doing just that. And she having a more glorious worship service than the most incredible church on this planet. And so is Scott. My wife, Miss Devin Z. She was with her and her family just before she went to be with Jesus. And she said, we didn't get a chance to give our son a hug. Goodbye. Give him a hug. And we get it. She told me, she said, you probably think that's stupid. And I said, not at all, honey. I believe her spirit caught that. And I believe, knowing Debbie as we do, she walked up in heaven and said, praise you, Jesus. Is it that Jarrell at? Because I got to give him a hug for his mama. I think sometimes we forget that we're not the only ones that ever go through something. Looking at Bill Tice there and sat in his living room when he lost his daughter. But they were building on the rock, so here they are, still sitting. You know that Betty back there years ago lost her sister. Watched her die. Watched her mama believe for healing. Still saw her pass away. But here's Betty still up here praising, worshiping. All of you have dealt with some stuff. But the life we live in right now is not about never going through nothing. It's the hope that we got Jesus. That yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I shall fear no evil. For thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That he knew that surely goodness and mercy gonna follow me all the days of my life. That goodness and mercy is tracking me and chasing me down. And even though it looks bad now, goodness and mercy is gonna overtake me. It's just a matter of time. And this is gonna be a church that will not fall, that will not fail, that will push through adversity. We being battle tested. When they talk about sports teams and stuff, and they'll talk about a team in the playoffs, and they'll talk about one when it gets difficult and they down and they down in the score, that they just fall apart because they've never been through it. Then they talk about that battle-tested team that's had the disappointment of loss, that's known what it's like to be ahead and lose the lead and not get the championship, to be that close. And then they go through all of that, and all it does is build them up to the place that one year they put that championship ring on. I'm telling you that all of the adversity, all of the pain, all of the loss, all of the difficulty, all it's doing is building champions that we gonna know how to keep walking through the pain, walk through the fire, walk through the flood, and we gonna see the goodness of God, not just in heaven, but in the land of the living, because God is good and he is with us. Let's stand together. Go ahead and praise him. It's okay. He's worthy of praise.